Well, this week has been a blessing. We always look forward to spending time with the Longs and the Lewises. We're glad the Lewises could be with us, our founding pastor and her husband. And we're glad you've chosen to be here this evening. Brother Danny, come and preach to us.
I don't know what you're expecting to get out of me after that, brother. Well, amen. It's good now that we have another lady that has taken over pastor of the church here. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good in spite of us. Amen. He certainly is. Trust you've had a great day today. We have. I tell you, the Lord has been so good to us, and we thank you for his goodness and mercy. And good to be back in his house tonight. Good to be back with his people. And I trust that you've been looking forward to tonight. I have. I look forward to every time we get into God's house and into a service. Yeah, it's always interesting as you watch and you see and look for God to do something. Amen. I don't know about you, but every time I go to church, I expect God to be there, number one. And I expect him to do something. Amen. Because we don't serve a slack God. Amen. He's not lazy by any means. He always shows up. He said we're two or three are gathered together in his name, and we gather together here Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, and of course this week, Monday through Friday. And he said he'd be in the midst, amen. And so we're here in his name, and he's here, and he doesn't just show up, he doesn't just show up to be here. He shows up to do something, amen. And so we praise the Lord for that. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7. We did not finish last night's message. Someone asked me one day, he said, have you ever preached a message and finished it? And it's been years since I've done that. But we're going to try to finish this one tonight and see what the Lord has got for us. There's always more. I found this out. There's always more to be said than what we say. Amen. I mean, when you get through, you sit down and you're thinking, boy, I should have said, I could have said, this would have went. And then some of you come up to us sometimes. Amen. And you tell us what we should have said. Some of you like to tell us what we shouldn't have said, but you do. But there's just always more that goes with the message. Amen. Isn't that wonderful that we never get it all told? Amen. I praise the Lord for that. So Romans chapter number 7, we'll begin reading with verse 15. If you're able, you stand with us tonight. I guess the reason God wants us to stick with the subject of sin is because we have such a struggle with it. Now, I don't know about you. I think I do. I think I know if you love the Lord like you ought to and like you say that you do, you would like to just stay away from sin, wouldn't you? Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we did? If we loved God so much, and that honestly, folks, let's be honest. And I'm talking about us, me included. If we love God like we ought to, we would say no to sin a lot more than what we do. Amen. And I think it would be so wonderful if we could just say no to sin and literally do as the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. And touch not the unclean thing. Amen. Wouldn't that be glorious? Well, I don't think we're going to reach that here on earth. But we're going to a place where we'll be able to reach that. Because there'll be no sin in heaven. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Romans chapter number 7, verse number 15. The Bible says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. If you notice here, this man that God is using to write these words down, this is the word of God, but God's using a man to pin the words down. And God's using that man's own personal testimony. And this man is having a struggle with sin. And this man is Paul. I mean, he's not just someone out here in left field. He's Paul. He's the apostle Paul. And he's admitting to the fact that he has a struggle with sin. You say, now, Brother Danny, Paul did. Oh, yeah, you read chapter 6. We read it last night. He was telling us, I have a struggle with sin. He's telling us that man has a struggle with sin. It's not just some and a few and this one and that one and the other one, but the Bible is teaching us that mankind has a problem with sin. That seed is in us, passed from Adam and Eve. Amen. We have that sinful nature that we're born with. That's the reason those little children, when that baby is born, my friend, that they start lying. I mean, that crying thing when there's nothing wrong with them. Amen. That's the reason, because they're born with that nature, my friend. And it just grows with us as we grow up. And we need desperately to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, my friend. Not that it eradicates that nature, but that we have a new nature that helps us to defeat that old nature. Amen. And that's the secret of it. If there's such a thing as a secret, God never kept anything a secret. Have you noticed that? But that's the key to this thing, is that we get to the place, my friend, where we feed the spiritual man. When we say feed, we're talking about reading the Word of God. Reading the Word of God. Studying the Word of God. Studying the Word of God. What did David say? He said, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not. David is telling us the key to this thing is through the Word of God. Amen. And we need to apply the Word of God in our lives every day. I mean, folks, this is the instruction book for God's people. Amen. And so Paul is telling us, I've got to struggle with this. I mean, I don't want to do bad. I don't want to do evil, but I find myself doing it. Look at verse 18. He says, For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Verse 19, he goes in and he says, For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. He's got the testimony that you and I have. The Apostle Paul has the testimony that you and I have. I want to do right, and by the time I think I'm doing good, I find that I'm doing evil. Amen? We have that struggle, don't we? There's no need in us asking the question, I don't want to make any of you lie. That just proves my point even more. Amen? The fact is, we do. And if you stand there and say, Well, Brother Danny, I don't... You mean you're closer to God than the Apostle Paul? Huh? I honestly don't think any of us are. Amen. I don't think the Bible says if we say we have no sin, then we make him a liar and the truth is not in us. Amen. We have a struggle with this. And that proves our point, because of pride stepping up in our life and say, I don't have a problem with it. That's rebellion against God. Amen. And then he goes ahead and he says in verse 20, I think that's where I'm at. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Amen. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Notice what he's saying now. He said, I delight in the law after the inward man. That new man that's in him enjoys doing that is right, is what he's saying. Verse 23 says, But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Paul's just plainly telling us, he said, I have a struggle just like everyone else with this thing called sin. Now, folks, listen to me. The problem that we have in our churches today, all across America, I dare say in other countries also, but especially in America, the struggle that we're having today, We have said we cannot defeat sin. We cannot defeat sin. So we come to the conclusion, what is the use in trying? and we've given up. We've given up on defeating sin in our life. Amen. You say, but Brother Danny, you said, and the Bible says, if we have no sin, so we're going to have sin. Yeah, but wait just a second. Just hold on. You see, that doesn't mean that we're supposed to just give up in this battle that we're in. Paul talked about it being a battle. We don't give up in this battle. We go ahead and fight this battle. And every day we fight this battle, my friend, we get closer to the Lord, and it makes God more pleased with us. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, that's the victory. Jesus died on the cross for us that we might have the forgiveness of our sins, but also victory over sin. Amen. We just simply need to live for Jesus. The problem is when we give up in this battle, we quit living for Jesus. We start living for self, for religion, for this, for that, for the other. But we ought to be living for Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you tonight, God, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, Lord, that there is forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ and through him only. And we come tonight, Lord, knowing that we too have this same struggle. This old flesh wants to do bad. It wants to do evil. Lord, it wants to stay home. It wants to be, it likes the idea of being too tired to go to church. Lord, all that is the warfare that's going on within us to keep us from hearing your word. Because hearing your word gives us that blessed hope, that peace that passeth all understanding, that joy that's unspeakable. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I don't know why we want to stay away from it, for within your word is victory. God, we ask you to help us tonight. I pray, Father, you'll speak to our hearts once again. Lord, do that that is pleasing to you, Father, that when this service comes to an end, that we have honored you and glorified you by obeying you. Lord, have thine own way. If there's one here lost, we pray this would be the night, dear Lord, that they'll come and be saved. Father, help us tonight. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, we've read a lot of scripture, but I want to look at chapter number 8. And I want to read you just a few more scripture, and I'm not going to read it all. And if you'll read these verses of scripture in chapter 8, it about gets you to shouting. I'm serious. Paul is telling us here in the previous verses that he's having a struggle with sin. He's not just pointing out the fact, saying, I'm having a struggle. But what he's doing, he's letting us know that mankind has a struggle with sin. There's a warfare going on. We did not have this battle going on when we were lost. Amen? I wasn't trying to do right when I was lost. I just did wrong. Why? I only had one nature, and that was that sinful nature that caused me to do wrong. Now, I know that there's some people that seem like when they do bad, they like to do real bad. Okay, I understand that. But even in all of us, my friend, until we get that new nature, our nature is just to do that the flesh wants to do. Listen, we got to understand this. Sin is not just the murder and the adultery we could just go on about those kinds of sin. Drinking and drugs and all of that. We think those are sin. Anything that's contrary to the will of God, my friend, is rebellion against God, and that is sin. Anything, regardless of what it is. And so we have this struggle, and Paul is telling us about this. But then notice he comes in chapter 8, verse number 1, and he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now notice what he's saying. He says there's no condemnation to those that walk in the Lord, that walk with Christ. Amen? Now, what is so great about this? Do you know what condemnation brings in a person's life? Listen, when you feel condemned, that means you have this guiltiness about you. And it will cause us, listen, Christians, it will cause us to try to avoid God and God's people. Now, here's what I'm trying to get at. Have you noticed when you're not living for God like you ought to, that you try to avoid everything that pertains to God? That's the reason some folks... I've got to be honest with you. I believe this with all my heart. I know there's a lot of sickness going on throughout the church, and I understand that. That's one of those things, and we can't help, and that's life. Amen. But there's a lot of folks that didn't come back tonight. You know why? Because they were guilty last night, and they didn't get it taken care of. They feel condemned. That condemnation has fallen upon. Remember before you got saved, when the preacher or someone was witnessing to you and telling you about Jesus Christ and telling you, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Remember, more than likely, your first reaction was not, oh, thank you. More than likely, it was, who do you think you are? You don't have the right to tell me I'm a sinner. Huh? We have that. Why? Condemnation. We feel condemned, and we want to stay away from God. Paul is warning us about that, and he says if we walk with Christ, there is none of that. Amen? We don't feel condemned. Praise the Lord. We can come in, and Brother Danny get up here, and he leads us in a song. Amen? He should have been born a few years back when they'd say, follow the bouncing ball. Some of y'all remember that? Others, you're just looking at me. So what's that about? What's that about? You ought to have been born earlier, then you'd know. Amen. Y'all think you know it all. Follow the bouncing ball. They would have followed Brother Danny. Amen. But that's the reason we come in here, and we are literally bouncing. Amen. We sing, I'm resolved no longer to stay here. Amen. I mean, we get excited about those things. Why? Because there's no condemnation. We don't feel condemned. Why? We've been set free through Jesus Christ. Our sins are under the blood. Amen. We're not walking in our sin life any longer. We're walking in the light. Amen. And we don't feel that condemnation. That's the reason you're back tonight. Some of you came back, though you feel a little condemned. Because you know what? You know that's what you need. Amen. You came back because you want to get a little closer to the Lord. You really love God. And you've just messed up. I mean, you've just been walking in the wrong path. And you're saying, I want to get off that path. I want to get back on the straight and narrow path. Amen. Yeah, amen. Boy, there's sometimes, I'm serious, I go to a meeting and that I'm not preaching that night, and I'll be sitting there, and boy, the preacher gets to preaching, and my first reaction is the hair stands up on the back of my neck. I don't like it. I don't appreciate. And I'm going on that route, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God in me begins to speak and says, it's truth. You need to get closer. Amen. And then I begin to like it. And then when the service is over with, I go and I say, preacher, I did not enjoy that message, but I sure appreciate it. Amen. That's truth. Amen. Isn't there some messages you just don't enjoy? Huh? But you sure appreciate them after they're over with? Because that's what you needed. Amen. We can't always preach those shouting messages. Oh, glory to God, hallelujah. We can't listen. You know why? That's not what we always need. Amen. But all this, Paul's telling us something. Look at verse number 6. I'm just going to jump through here and we'll try to get to the message sometime after a while. In verse 6, he says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Look at verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, or hostile against God. It's literally an enemy of God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. When we walk in the flesh, when we obey the flesh, in other words, we are walking in sin, rebelling. Don't mean we got out and killed somebody today. It means rebelling against God. If God, listen, if God said to you today, you need to witness this person, all of a sudden your heart felt like you need to witness to them, and you did not, you know what you did? You rebelled against God, and you sinned. Don't look at me that way. It's the truth. It's rebellion against God. God spoke and said, speak to them. My friend, and I don't care what excuse we come up with, I just don't have the time. This is not a good place. If God spoke to us about it, my friend, you better believe it's the right time And it's the right place. Amen. Folks, I'm serious. That's how, I don't know how to put it, that's how simple sin is. We think it's got to be real bad for it to be sin, but it doesn't. It's just when God speaks and tells us to do or not to do, and we go the opposite direction of whatever God speaks to us about, it has become sin. And then we're walking in the flesh, and we're not pleasing God. And you know what God's going to do? God is going to always, He's going to correct His children when they disobey. Somebody had that promise tonight. Amen. And He will. Why? Because He loves us and He doesn't want disobedient children. Amen. So He says in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? But in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. We go on over in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, which is Father. We cry out to Father. See, the beauty of this thing is, when we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, these verses begin to be blessings to us. You see, when we walk in the flesh, these verses are just verses. I mean, they don't really excite us or do anything for us because we're walking in the flesh. But when we walk in the Spirit, we begin to read these verses of Scripture. In verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hallelujah! You see what I'm saying? Isn't this great? My friend, I mean that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How do you know you're saved tonight? There might be one or two, three, four, five, I don't know how many, might be here sitting in your pew tonight, and you're sitting there, and I say, how do you know you're saved? And right quick, you say, well, I don't know. You know why? Listen, probably the problem is you've been walking in the flesh today and not in the Spirit. Amen. Because when you walk in the Spirit, my friend, the Holy Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you are His children. Amen. And it makes you come in and sing those songs and bubble over. Makes you go around shaking hands with a smile on your face. Good to see you. Glad to have you. Man, isn't it great? Praise the Lord. Having a great time. Amen. Still partying. Amen. Look at verse 17. We're going to hurry up and quit, all right? And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Isn't this wonderful? You see how the Scriptures change when our attitude toward the Scriptures change? Meaning, my friend, our walk with Jesus. As we walk close to the Lord, the verses of Scripture become blessings, not burdens. Amen. It looks like the Apostle Paul, through chapter 7, is burdened down because of this sin thing. And then beginning in verse 8, or chapter 8, it says, though he's found victory in Jesus. Amen. I mean, it looks like, man, his heart's been lightened. I mean, the load has been lifted. Why? He's realized something now, that he does not have to obey the flesh, but he can obey the Spirit. And so now he's obeying the Spirit, and man, things sure do cheer up fast. Amen. Shall we continue in sin? That was the question that we started with last night. Shall we continue in sin? And I know probably every one of you were here last night. We talked about, shall we continue in sin when we know its origin, where it began, where it started with, the devil. Amen. We know that. Why would we want to sin? Because sin comes from the devil. And if we sin, then we're obeying the devil. So we shouldn't want to do that. Amen. Shall we continue in sin when we know its history? We look at the shame and disgrace of what sin has brought in people's lives. Amen. How families were disgraced and shamed because of sin. You know, looks like you and I, would learn lessons from these scriptures. We know what it's going to bring. We know what the history of sin is. Shame and disgrace. Always shame and disgrace. That's the history of sin. Shame and disgrace. Don't you know if Adam and Eve could go over again in the beginning there in the garden? Don't you think for a moment it's just like us when our sin is brought up before us. We say, man, I wish I had that time in my life to go over. I'd sure do things different. Amen? Don't you know Adam and Eve would? Don't you know there's that, and I know they're in heaven now, but while they're here on earth, is there cast out of the garden. Don't you know there was some shame and disgrace upon them because they knew they had failed God, their Creator. Isn't that true with us? When we sin, don't you feel shame and disgrace in your life? Amen? And the sad thing is, listen, sometimes we react to that in the wrong manner. We run from God rather than to Him. Amen? Adam and Eve did. God comes in the cool of the day. What did they do? They ran and hid behind the trees. They ran and hid themselves, running from God rather than running to the only one that could help them in their situation. We need to learn a lesson from that, folks. The next time we get caught up in sin and God brings it to our attention, my friend, listen to me, lets us know that, hey, you have sinned. Instead of getting all up, wound up about it in the wrong direction and running from God, we ought to run to church, run to God. We ought to run to the house of God. I'm telling you, best way I know how to handle it is, moment you sin, my friend, and the Holy Ghost of God will let you know. Amen. Just fall down and begin to ask God to forgive you right then. Kind of like to me, coming to church, the best way to start a service is in the altar of prayer. You remember that year we did that? Every night for the week, we came, we had our vessel, remember? And we started off the service in prayer. Not as a collective group, but just as we came in for the service, families would get in the altar together and pray. Amen? Well, I tell you, that's some sweet times, wasn't it? Yeah, it was sweet times. Now what we do is we come into church, we go through the service, we get through the invitation, and then we leave, and we've not changed one thing. Amen. We need to learn, my friend, to get with God in these times. And instead of, as I said, instead of running from Him, run to Him, because He's a forgiving God. Remember? Remember when you were lost and you ran to Him as He was drawing you? Remember, He didn't say no, but He put His arms around you and welcomed you in. Amen. He forgave you. Well, He's still that same forgiving God tonight as He was back then when you got saved. Praise the Lord. What a God we serve. There's none other like Him tonight. Praise the Lord. Somebody ought to holler amen. So shall we continue in sin when we know it's history? Shall we continue in sin when we know it's trend? The trend of sin. What does sin always do? Always do. It always takes an individual down. Always down. Sin never ever exalts or lifts you up. When there's sin in your life, there's that condemnation that puts you down. It brings you down. You always feel, listen to me, unworthy. Now we know, we all know that we're unworthy. I'm going to heaven. I mean, I'm not thinking I'm going to heaven. I'm a going to heaven. Amen. I'm unworthy, but I'm a going anyway. And because, my friend, that my sins are under the blood of the Lamb, God has forgiven me. I don't drag around. I can't even pray because I'm unworthy. I can't even give an offering, Brother Randy, because I'm unworthy. I just don't feel like I can do anything for the Lord because I'm unworthy. Oh, cut it out. Listen, God knows we're unworthy. Amen. So what do? We love Him because we're unworthy. We love Him because we can. We can come to the throne of God through an altar of prayer because we can. Amen. Even though we're unworthy, Jesus Christ, and through Him, we are made worthy. Amen. Remember who we are now that we're saved? We're no longer just that individual that was lost, but now we are a child of the King. It's not that we're going to be, it's that we already are, you see. My friend, in Him we're made worthy. He does not look at us as unworthy. That would be awful to think of. Every time God looks at me, He looks at me as unworthy. You say, well, Brother Danny, where's your humility? That has nothing to do with humility. It has to do with our position in Christ. Amen. You see, He does not look at me like I'm unworthy. He looks at me as a child of His. Why? Because of what His only begotten Son did for me. Amen. So because of that, praise God, I can shout and sing with the best of them. Amen. Because my sins are forgiven. They're under the blood. And God has made me worthy through His Son. But the trend of sin is opposite from that. It's always pulling us down. You're unworthy. That's the reason, again, we go back to that condemnation thing. That's the reason we feel so bad when we sin and we hadn't asked God to forgive us. We feel bad. We feel down. We feel discouraged. We feel so guilty. Amen? Why? My friend, because that's the way sin does. Isn't it something? Sin says, you want to have fun? Come on with me. If you really, young people, you really want to have fun, I'll show you what fun is. Come on. And then when it gets a hold of you, it says, shame on you for sinning. Amen? Boy, don't we, sometimes, have you ever, I don't know how else to put it, have you ever felt like a fool because of the sin you've done? I mean, you thought, boy, this is going to be all right. I mean, really, it's going to be good. It's going to be fun. There's really nothing wrong. I don't see anything at all wrong with it. And I'm just going to get out and have a little fun for a little while. And then when you do it, all of a sudden, and it's that sin that kind of points its finger at you and says, look what you just did. I can't believe you. And you caught, and this is what gets me, is when sin has its partners, you know, people, and they say, and you call yourself a Christian? No, but God calls me a Christian. Amen. He's given us the title of Christian. Amen. Folks, listen to me. Sin, the trend of sin is always pulling us down, making us feel bad about who we are and what we are. There are people tonight out yonder that claim to be Christians, and I'm not the judge, so I'm not saying they are or are not, but they're claiming to be Christians, my friend. And if you were to talk to them and invite them to church, they can't come to church because the guiltiness upon their own soul, my friend, they'll tell you, I just can't go to church. I've not been living for God. I just can't go to church. What is that? It's the trend of sin always pulling folks down. Why? We got to remember what this is all about. Why is rebellion so bad, my friend? Because the devil, that's how exactly the devil got cast out of heaven, was because of his rebellious spirit toward God. He is the father. I know we say he's the father of lies. The Bible says so. But he's the father of rebellion too, my friend. He's the one. And so God does not like our rebellious spirit. And that rebellious spirit gets us to do sin, pulling us down. All that is the devil whipping God's children. Amen. And we need to just get closer to God. Amen. The trend of sin, my friend. Listen, nations have been brought down. Nations have been brought down because of sin. America is going down. And if you don't see that, my friend, I don't know what to say to you to help you, because you're blind, not just spiritually, you're just blind. America is going down. She's not the country that most of us in here tonight grew up in. I mean, it's like we left America and we've all gone to another country now. Amen. I mean, sometimes I look around and I don't even recognize this world in which we live today. Boy, there's been such a drastic change in America. Not the other countries, but in America. When I was growing up, no one would dare spit on the flag, let alone strike a match and light it up or throw it down and start stomping. Listen to me. lost folks that was just right out lost and on the road to hell, and they'd tell you and cuss you for everything you was worth. They still wouldn't do that to the American flag. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, nations go down. Why? That's the trend of sin. It's a shame our government can't look at the history of our country and of other countries and see exactly what it is. To me, it's an obvious thing what our problem is. Our problem is sin. It's such an obvious thing to me to see that our problem is sin. What is that sin? Rebellion toward our God. Saying even in America today, there is no God. That's the popular opinion, by the way. There is no God. You said it, I believe it was one night, Brother Jason was witnessing, and run into someone and said they'd never heard the gospel or something like that. Let me tell you something. This is sad, but it's a true statement. That's becoming the common thing in the United States of America, that you run into folks that says, well, I've never heard that pertaining to Jesus. And there was a time when everybody had heard about Jesus. But now everything's so perverted. Even when they talk about Jesus, they're not talking about the Jesus of this Bible. God help us tonight. That's what sin does. That's the trend of sin. Young people, listen to me tonight. That's exactly the trend of sin. It's to pull you down. It's to pull you down. It's to destroy you, to literally destroy you. That's what sin does. And yet, folks, listen. If we're not careful, we get so involved in sin that all of a sudden we're obeying sin, and not God. Amen. Shall we continue in sin when we know its results? It's about what we were talking about, that the results of sin. Have you noticed what sin brings about? Sin brings about broken homes. Listen to me. It's not really, and listen very close to what I'm saying to all of it. It's not really the drugs. It's not really the alcohol. It's not really the sex. Though all these things, my friend, they look like they're the things that's destroying us, but that's not it. Those are the things that are manifested by sin. Those are things that we see. The problem is rebellion against God. We can always go back to that. The problem is rebellion against God. It destroys. It causes men and women that love each other, that love. I'm talking about real love. I'm not talking about flesh love. I'm talking about that they fall in love with each other from their hearts. And they love one another, and they stand up and say, till death do us part. And they really mean that when they say that. My friend, and then it's not long till all of a sudden they can't stand one another. They don't want to put up with each other. Let's just get out of each other's sight. We'll be happier that way. You know what it is? You know what it is? Rebellion. It's rebellion. We will not submit to the authority of God in our lives. Our homes are in a mess. Amen. That's the result of sin. Our homes are in a mess today. I mean, who's in control in the home anymore? Amen. You say, well, I don't know. Well, it's supposed to be. Now, I know some of you saying, the man. It's supposed to be God. He's supposed to be number one in the home. Amen. He is over everything. Amen. But where is he anymore? He's not in the home. And when God's out of the picture, everything else is falling apart. It just decays. Sin. This is the result of sin. When man used to have a happy home, when I say man, I'm talking about women too. I'm talking about mankind. There was happy homes. Amen. I mean, husband and wives that loved one another. They loved their children. Their children loved them. And boy, there was just a happiness in a home. The home used to be a refuge place. I mean, a place you could go to. I remember singing the song, A Haven of Rest. And I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. Amen. It's talking about Jesus. But the home used to be a haven of rest too. man would work all day, come in from a job that he's had a rough day on, come in, and there he was greeted by his family. Amen. And they spent some quality time together. Not before the TV, that's not quality time. They just spent some time. We talked about it the other night, remember? At a family altar. They would pray together. They would talk together. They'd do like we done tonight. Give us some of the promises. Huh? They would do that in the home. I mean, moms and dads would talk to their children about promises of God. And the children would be learning those promises. And the next time, tomorrow night when we got together, those children would repeat what mom and dad said last night, the promises. He said, well, that's just repeating. Yeah, they're learning the promises of God. When's the last time? I'm not pressing you for an answer. When's the last time you talked about the Lord in your house? When was the last time the Lord was the center of attraction in your home? Not the Game Boys. Not the cell phones. Not the computer. But God. When was the last time? I'm telling you, we're in trouble. The results of sin is homes that are falling apart. And the problem is we don't know how to solve this. Have you noticed there's no one going for counseling anymore? There's not even talk about marriage counseling anymore. I don't remember when. I've never have been for that anyway. I figure they ought to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and you'll get enough counseling then that'll help you. I'm serious. Amen. If we'll become doers of the word, not hearers only, then we won't have to be bugging somebody, paying them $150 an hour to listen to our little squabbles that end up being war, blah, 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 ma, nia, ma. Got it? World War III. Amen. I'm serious, folks. Now, instead of even talking about counseling, it doesn't get there. It's just get a divorce. Why? We don't know how to fix our problem. And man doesn't know how to fix it. The only way to fix it is just get a divorce. You argued, Brother Eddie, you and Miss Kathy argued. The only thing I can tell you, buds, do like everybody else. Just go sign the paper. Get it over with, because that's the only answer I've got. That's the world. They do not have an answer for our problems. For their own problems, they do not have an answer. Psychiatrists, these folks that are supposed to help us because we're a little bit loony. They're the ones that are committing suicide more than any other group of people in the world. Now that's who I want to go to help me with my problems. Come on. The problem is they don't know how to solve their problem. How do we solve our problem? It's called a sin problem, and we take it to the Lord. We're getting ahead of ourselves, but we take it to the Lord and confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if my sins are gone, my unrighteousness is gone, me and this woman's going to be able to get along together. Amen. Amen. We're in trouble. Our kids today, they have no idea about authority in the home. Amen. The average kid today, listen to me. As a matter of fact, they figure they're the ones in charge. And in most homes, they're right. They're in charge. And the sad thing is, they don't know a thing about being in charge. I don't care how smart they think they are. They're dumber than a bag of rocks. Because they've not been through life enough to know the truth about life, my friend. I don't care who they are. I don't care. My kids, your kids. When my kids was growing up, listen to me. No, I'm talking about all of our kids. My friend, they weren't smart enough to be in charge of anything. That's the reason they were born as children and not as adults. Wasn't one of them born running around and saying, let's say 1,486 times 852 million is equal to... None of them were able to do that. They were raised up and they had to be taught. because they didn't have that wisdom about them. They had to be taught. But the problem is now, they're in charge. They're in charge of the home. They're calling the shots. And they don't know one thing about what's going on in their own life. They can't. Their own life is a mess. What do we do, Brother Danny? We get with God and get things lined back up with God, God's way. Amen. We get back to where man, the man of the house, is the man of the house. Women, that ought to thrill your heart to know that your man is the man of the house. Well, I'm not going to take any instruction. Who does he think he is? He's no better than me, Brother Danny. That's your problem. Rebellion, not just against your husband, but it's rebellion against God because God set the order. What's wrong with us today? We got to try it another way. We don't want to be like everybody else. We want to be different. And so here we are. We're different like 10 billion other people. It so happens that makes us all the same. Amen. I've watched young people. They want to be different. They want to dress different. They want to have tattoos and they want to have rings in their nose and their ears and their tongue and taste buds. And amen. They want to have all that because they want to be different. And sure enough, they are. You can't tell them from any other kid because they're all different like that. Grow up! And then we got us adults that's running around like kids. We got to do the same thing that the kids are doing. Tattoos. I'm not saying you're going to hell if you got tattoos. Just mark like you are. Amen. I'm going to tell you, this body does not belong to me nor the world. I'm not going to let the world mark this body up. This is God's. You may say, well, it looks pretty pitiful. It might look pitiful. That's just because of wear and tear. It ain't because of somebody marking on it, punching holes in it. Amen. I'm just telling you, we're in trouble, folks. The results of sin has always been the same. Broken homes. Broken homes. Broken individuals, my friend, that are broken down. And you know, I'm so glad that God is God. What I mean by that, it amazes me that an individual can completely wreck and ruin their life. And they can come to Jesus Christ and He will forgive them. They're marked up. Amen. The world's got its marks all over them. They're so messed up with the habits of the world, my friend. I mean, their life is nothing but a mess. I think of the lady that got saved Sunday morning. She started out, and her eyes were dancing. I mean, she was like a little kid with a new toy. And she said to me on the way out, she said, just this quick, she said, I got saved this morning. I said, praise the Lord. We're so glad you came and we're so glad that you accepted the Lord this morning. She said, it's about time. I'm 89 years old. And I thought, that's my God. Excuse me, sis. Here's an old woman that's wasted all of her 89 years of her life. I don't know how much. She might outlive all of us. But 89 years of her life, she's wasted. Excuse me for this terminology. It's gone down the toilet. Just wasted 89 years of her life. And then she would dare to come to God and ask God for forgiveness. And God said, Don, I don't know about you. Boy, it just makes me appreciate my God that much more. See, He's not just interested in folks that have kept their lives innocent all their life and then presents themselves to Him. He's interested in them. And oh, what a great and marvelous testimony that some folks have that they came to Jesus in their pure years when they were, I mean, just pure with God, and they fell in love with Him as their Savior and surrendered everything to Him, and they lived for Him all their life. What a fantastic, glorious, tremendous, powerful testimony. You say, that's not powerful. It's more powerful when they've fallen into sin. No. When I see a young person that has given their life when they're young, I look at the power of God that kept them from sin at all like that. Whoa, glory to God. We know He can bring a drunkard out of drunkenness. We know He can bring a dope head out of drugs, my friend. We know He can do all these things, but look at the power He has to take that young person and take care of them all the years of their life. Whoa, glory to God. Oh, I'm telling you something. We serve an awesome God. The result of sin is always, always, my friend, brokenness, 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 ruined lives. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. James says it too. He said, when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. My friend, listen to me. When are we going to learn? Well, shall we continue in sin when we know its remedy? There is a remedy for sin. Praise God. We already got on that. Not accidentally. God just put us there anyway. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Beautiful verses as all of them are. But it says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is the remedy for sin. 1 John 1 and 9, we said it a while ago, we quoted at it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In chapter 2, verse 1, he starts off like this. He says, my little children, he's telling us, he says, I would not that you sin. I don't want you to sin, is what he's saying. And he said, but if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. God says, I don't want you to sin. But if you do, I've got provisions made. You say, now, Brother Danny, man, you about had me talked into not sinning. I mean, I'm going to stay away from it. But now, if I know that God will forgive me, I'll just go ahead. Well, you go ahead, because it's obvious you're not saved anyway. If that's your attitude, there's no way a holy God lives in your heart. Amen. You say, you're judging. No, I'm not. I'm a fruit inspector. We can know them by the fruits they wear or they bear. My friend, listen to me. God puts within us, if we're saved, a desire to walk with Him and walk away from the devil, saying no to sin. The best way to deal with this sin problem is just walk with Jesus. Amen. How do you walk with Jesus? We've already said it, but I want to say it again. We study our Bible. It keeps us close to the Lord. It keeps us close. There's a song that says, sin used to keep me from it. Talking about the Word. But now, it keeps me from sin. And there's a lot of truth in that. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. Young people, listen to me. You need to know the remedy for sin. It'll come in handy all the days of your life. The remedy of sin is Jesus Christ. You want to grow up and have a happy home? You may not can control the home you're in. I don't know every one of you's situation. You may not can control the home you're in as a young person, but you have something to say and to do concerning the home you will be in as an adult. You want a happy home? Young guys, you want to marry a young lady that's pretty? Amen? And have a happy home? You say, why'd you throw that pretty in there? Because every guy wants a pretty woman. Amen? I mean, if they say, no, that ain't always true, they're lying. It's always true. It's like young ladies. You don't want to marry some ugly guy, do you? Amen? You know what God will do? God will make the one that He wants you to have look so pretty and so handsome to you that you'll think you got the best one in the bunch. Amen? But more important than that is to have that happy home. I mean, to have happiness in the home, to where there's joy there. I mean, where you come in and, boy, everything is fine. There's always that love that you feel in the home. Well, listen, That's going to depend upon the decisions you make in life. Amen. You see, the remedy for sin, and we've all got that problem. You, the older people here, every one of us got this problem with sin. The remedy of sin is Jesus. So what I'm trying to say is put Jesus number one. Don't ever put some boy above God. Guys, don't ever put some girl above God. Too many have done that, and they've went out and they've found what they want, only to find out after a while, that ain't what I wanted, that ain't what I needed. Amen. I'm telling you, that's the reason some of these folks are unhappy tonight. I'm being honest with you. Because they didn't listen to God. They listened to the flesh. And they got what the flesh wanted. And now they're sorry of it. Amen. Y'all have to forgive me for being honest. But it's the truth, isn't it? Sure it is. Listen to me. The remedy for sin is always Jesus. You know what we need more than anything else tonight? Jesus. You know what we need more of? Jesus. You know what we need much of? Jesus. We just need Jesus, my friend. There's no such thing as being a Jesus fanatic. Amen. There's a lot of weirdos, but there's no such thing as being a Jesus fanatic. We need to love Jesus. He needs to be the focal point of our lives. We need to look to Him, because if we don't, sin is going to abound in our lives. And we need Jesus. Let's all stand tonight. Everyone standing, every head bowed.